From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. It was an interesting day in Chicago with a midday loss based on a news story that came out of Washington, D.C., related to what the Trump administration's potential payments might be for the trade aid package and the breakdown of negotiations with China. We'll also hear about yesterday's crop progress reports and how it showed the lack of planting for both corn and soybeans across the Midwest. We'll have details from Ohio to the Dakotas and updates from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. And as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast, too. That with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, where he'll tell us about something of a freak snowstorm that they had overnight. And it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to take a look at the agricultural marketplace as it traded in Chicago. Wayne, thank you so much for being with us. We kind of had a midday surprise. Tell me about what happened with the soybean market.
Well, we got a wonderful little announcement out that we're going to probably get $2 a bushel on beans, 40-some cents on wheat, and 4 cents on corn. And no rules to go with it, but a whole lot of speculation, and kaboom went the bean market.
Yeah, so that was all in a tweet that came out of a couple of reporters that are in Washington, D.C. from Bloomberg, but they didn't give any indication of other details other than the amount, so nobody knows whether that's on the 2018 crop, on bushels from this year, whether it's APH, so lots of things yet to come, right?
Yeah, you know, we're hearing that Senator Jerry Morgan, a Republican from Kansas, wrote a letter to the USDA Secretary, Senator Perdue, and he's joining a large camp of the other senators that want to see the second round of the tariff relief be based on a farmer's recent history of planted acres and yields rather than just certifying the 19 production like we did for the last year because, wow, what do we got? Way too many beans. And now if you have to have produced a bushel of beans to get this $2, why, that would have a whole lot more people going and planting beans on their later acreage here. So something that we don't need really going on if that's the way they would handle it. So we'll hope some intelligence comes out of Washington and they can look at a reasonable way to do this and not keep ourselves in real trouble with carryouts.
Yeah, so at this point, we've been thinking about the weather and the number of acres that haven't been planted, and boy, did we get a bunch of those yesterday. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then when this dropped out today, the trade really looked at it and said, well, if they're going to pay $2, and we don't know that that's on bushels or not from this year, if it is, it means we're going to have a heck of a lot of soybeans, more acres than expected. We'll know more, according to this same article, maybe on Thursday. And of course, Washington, D.C., USDA has said they expect to release this week. So hopefully we'll get some numbers from them. Go back now for me through some of the numbers, and we'll hear this in a bit. As it relates to crop progress yesterday, Indiana just way behind Ohio, even further behind on corn production or corn planted. And it's just rotten all across the eastern side of the Corn Belt.
Yeah, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, all way, 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 way behind. I mean, you know, we're like 60%, about more than 60% behind what we should be at this point in time. And as you were giving the weather forecast there, not a lot of hope. We've got maybe 1 to 3 days of open weather until the next system comes in Sunday, Monday, Tuesday again. And, you know, we're talking about when we're still wet, very little planting activity going on. And it's beginning to look a lot more like we're going to see quite a few acres less of corn planted than what was anticipated in the last government report. Anywhere they're saying from 4 to 9 million acres could be cut. So and that would come off the 92.8. So there's quite a bit of difference in what we're looking at. We're seeing some progress in areas and other progress. I had four customers call me up that had ideas, they had open orders to sell these corn if we got a nice rally, and they said, I haven't got anything in the ground, cancel my orders to sell any these corn. So even at good prices. We saw a lot of activity down in Memphis. The large major grain companies were calling farmers, offering $4 cash for fall delivery corn this morning. So they were out there trying to shake the trees and see if they couldn't get any business done and buy some new crop corn.
Yeah, so let's do talk about old and new crop corn prices for just a bit. The trade doesn't appear convinced that, or appears convinced that we'll still get a corn crop in the ground. They haven't really moved, and I think most people thought that they might after yesterday's reports from the weekly crop progress, with a total nationwide planting of just 49%, really jumped the marketplace. They just haven't been convinced yet. Do you think that this is because of the size of the corn crop coming out of Brazil? Are they just not willing yet to commit? What are the fundamentals behind this move?
Well, I think there's like three or four things, Todd. I said the size of the crop coming out of South America is one thing. How about the size of the crop still left from last year's corn in this country and the carryout that we were looking at? And a lot of the elevators still being very full and thinking that the farmer has a lot to do. Now, the farmer has done a fair amount of pricing over this last week when he got, so a lot of the areas did pay $4 for some cash corn, quite a bit moved at that. People in waiting for that number, and they'd sold it. But in the same time, they're being very, very, very hesitant about selling the new crop. Because, like they say, they just aren't getting much planted and feeling it's going to be tighter that way. And as long as the weather stays this bullish, boy, we have seen. Now, the funds have liquidated about 100,000 corn since last Tuesday, and their positions on the board is what they're figuring on that. So the funds have been easing out of some of their short corn. They're still short quite a bit of corn. They're still short 180,000 contracts. But the farmer, I think right now he's pretty well sold. He got the $4 cash. A fair amount of corn has been moving over the last 4 or 5 days. But I think they're going to get very stubborn now about wanting to sell much more until they see that they can get in the field and plant a little more.
It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. This is the first time around that we've been this late. And I think the years are, 93, 95, and 96, none of which had prevent plant in place. So it'll be interesting to see what farmers actually decide to do. Have they been telling you what their intentions might be?
We're farming every darn chance we can get, and some guys are just they're going a little bit stir crazy because some of the areas just have not got acre one planted. Other areas are getting a day here and a day there and getting some in, but it is a very hard and bad situation now. And you have to remember, any of the guys have the group policies, used to be what they called the GRIP policies or the ARP policies. Now, they don't have replant and they don't have prevent plant. So those guys that have those policies, they've got to get something planted or no insurance attaches.
Yeah, so I've seen some of those guys rolling in. Actually, some of the big guys, it appears that they've just got planters on the hunt for any ground that they can actually put in, any acre that they can put in. So it'll be interesting to watch. Flip side of this, what are you telling end users, those who have livestock, other needs? Should they be locking anything in?
Last Thursday we went in, a lot of those guys had went ahead and bought some $4 calls and sold some like $4.50 calls above it to do something like that, figuring that'd help them 50 cents on any corn they needed to feed their cattle or hogs. And we've done quite a few of those that way, Todd. So we were looking at that last week. We done that a week earlier. So fortunately, most of the guys are in pretty good shape if they're big feeders of cattle or hogs that way. So, not enough, I'm sure, in many cases. I don't think that the end users, such as the ethanol plants and that, really went out and bought options or done something like that like they used to in the past. So I think we've seen a lot of them on the phone a lot over the last week, calling producers and trying to secure some grain for the summer and, of course, some more for the fall.
Hey, Wayne, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of Sunday that 49% of the U.S. corn crop had been planted. That's up from 30% last week, but well behind the five-year average. The trade expected 50%, so it wasn't so far off of what the trade was looking for. Soybean planting on Sunday was at just 19%. That's up from 9% the previous week. The trade had been expecting 22%. The winter wheat condition was getting just a bit better at 66% good to excellent, up from 64% in the previous week. A quick breakdown of what corn planting looked like from the east to the west across the United States. Ohio on Sunday, 9% planted. The average is 62%. Indiana, 14% planted. The average is 74%. Wisconsin at 35% planted, the average 65%, 19% planted in Michigan, they're usually 54% along. Illinois 24% planted, the average is 89%, Iowa at 70% done, the average 89%, Minnesota 56% done, 83% is average. North Dakota, 42% complete, the average 63%, 19% complete in South Dakota, the average 76%, and Nebraska, 70% complete, the average is 86%. Kansas, 61% done with their corn planting, the average there is 80%. Now here are the updates from Illinois and Iowa.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, with the weekly Iowa Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending May 19, 2019. Iowa farmers worked hard to make planting progress with drier conditions during the early part of the week ending May 19, 2019. However, heavy rain fell late in the week, which limited farmers to 2.7 days suitable for field work statewide. Topsoil moisture levels rated 0% very short, 0% short, 59% adequate, and 41% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 0% very short, 1% short, 58% adequate, and 41% surplus. Iowa corn growers have 70% of the expected crop planted, 5 days behind last year and 9 days behind the five-year average. This is the smallest percent of corn planted by May 19th since 1995, when just 53% of the expected crop had been planted. Even with limited days suitable for field work, farmers in northern districts and east central Iowa managed to plant at least a quarter of their expected corn crop this past week. Northeast Iowa planted the highest percentage of corn, as they planted 43% of their expected crop. 20% of the crop has emerged over a week behind last year and average. 27% of the expected soybean crop has been planted 8 days behind last year and 9 days behind average. 3% of the crop has emerged 6 days behind average. Nearly all the expected oat crop has been planted, with 76% emerged, 2 days behind last year and 1 week behind average. There were scattered reports for the first cutting of alfalfa hay. Hay condition rated 62% good to excellent. Pasture condition improved slightly to 63% good to excellent. Warmer temperatures early in the week helped pastures grow, allowing cattle farmers to move more cattle out to graze. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, May 12. Below normal temperatures dominated last week, and the wet weather pattern continued for many Illinois farmers. Topsoil moisture was rated 23% adequate and 77% surplus, while subsoil moisture was 30% adequate and 70% surplus. Days suitable for field work averaged less than one full day last week across the prairie state. Temperatures in Illinois range from 3 to 7 degrees below normal, and rainfall amounts were slightly above normal at 1.08 inches last week, with northern areas generally wetter than central and southern areas. Corn planting advanced by 1 point and is now 11% finished. That compares to 88% 1 year ago and 82% for the five-year average. 4% of corn acres have emerged compared to 49% normally. Soybean planting remains stalled at 3% complete, compared to 61% last year and 34% normally. 35% of winter wheat acres are now heading, compared to 43% 1 year ago and the five-year average of 53%. The condition of the winter wheat crop declined a little and is now rated as 25% very poor to poor, 38% fair, and 37% of wheat acres are in good to excellent condition. Hay cutting is just underway in Illinois, with 1% of hay, other than alfalfa, acres cut, compared to 11% 1 year ago and 8% for the five-year average. Pasture conditions were rated 7% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 66% good to excellent, a little better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. Let's turn our attention now to the agricultural energies. We're joined by Dave Chatterton. He's from the Powerline Group right here in Champaign, Illinois. Hey, Dave, thanks for being with us. Oh, and thanks for joining us on Commodity Week last Thursday. I appreciated that a lot.
No, Todd, great to be with you then and now, and always appreciate your support and what you do for ag. So definitely glad to be part of the process.
Well, let's talk about energies, especially as it's related to agriculture and where we stand sort of in the corn market, but with ethanol and what this whole dynamic looks like going forward.
So, yeah, Ty, I mean, we've had a good interplay. Margins have finally started to show a little bit of life and improvement on the ethanol side of the fence. And we've got a situation where, you know, if we could ever open up that export market, it would be a different story. We do not look for that to really be the case in the near term here, as the China-U.S. negotiations have kind of ground to a halt, at least for now. Now, we know that we're only one tweet or one announcement away from changing that whole situation and breathing some life back into it. But for now, you know, it's steady as she goes. Gasoline demand in the U.S. is up only about 0.5% above where it was a year ago. We're ready to kick off the official start of the summer driving season. But of late, we've taken some of the seasonality out of that, where we have a smoother demand curve and a more even demand curve from the shoulder months to the summer months. And the conversion to, you know, metropolitan travel and living in the city and electric vehicles and high mileage, you know, gasoline engines and diesel engines has all combined to kind of quell that fuel use just a little bit. So really, it's a train on the tracks. It's going okay. It's not speeding up. It's not slowing down. But I don't know that there's any big curves ahead.
Is there any serious concern yet about the problems in the Mideast and the impact that it might have on the energies?
Well, certainly it's been a point of contention or a point of debate in the marketplace here. And I think you've got a trade that's in the oil markets that's consolidated here just a little bit as we weigh the, you know, the OPEC plus group production cuts, the problems in Venezuela and Iran, against what's going on with the U.S.-China trade war and all the things that are going on. This introduction of the geopolitical military risk inside the Gulf region, and particularly the Strait of Hormuz, is a whole different story and a little bit of a game changer. And I think what it does is it provides a level of support to the markets where speculative and just independent traders are not willing to go home short in a scenario where they could wake up in the morning and find a headline that totally puts the oil market on its head. Just for review, you've got about, you know, somewhere around 40 to 45% of global exports of crude oil on a daily basis that move through that corridor and that, you know, are subject to a potential problem there. So it is a flashpoint. It is something that's going to be monitored. It is a supportive factor for price in our marketplace.
So there are lots of things happening on the ground for agriculture, and they may not need nearly as much energy this spring and or fall. However, is there a reason that producers might need to lock in yet energy needs?
Well, I think you're going to break it down into diesel fuel. If you don't have the rest of your spring needs locked up, I think now is the time to do that. We've obviously had a little bit of a constraint in demand. We've pushed that demand forward a little bit into a period where planning is going to be compressed. So that's one thing to be aware of. Beyond that, I think for fall prices in diesel fuel, I wouldn't be too concerned. One thing to do keep your eye on here is that propane prices have fallen to levels that are really the lowest point we've seen this year, and actually the lowest points going back into 2015 and 2016. on a wholesale basis. So we've seen, you know, subpar builds in inventory. We've seen exports slow down just a little bit. That's created a situation and some price pressure. Well, even while crude has kind of gravitated back up to the top end of its trading range, we continue to see propane fall. So I would be in contact with your suppliers, looking at what your fall prices are, compare those to what you paid, you know, this year or maybe in previous seasons. And certainly I think you can realize some value there, and there's some value in going ahead and contracting or filling your tanks with propane.
Hey, Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Dave Chatterton is with the Powerline Group from right here in Champaign, Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On this Tuesday afternoon, Don Day is here to talk about the weather forecast. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Let's start locally with you, because you had a really weird event happen there in your hometown of Cheyenne.
That's right. 8 inches of very wet spring snow accumulated last night over the high plains of Wyoming. Also portions of western Nebraska, South Dakota, portions of Montana, and even some snow along the Front Range of Colorado down around Denver. Not unusual to have this happen in the month of May, but it's getting darn late. This may be a record breaker in terms of this much snow this late in May in some areas.
Okay, so let's talk about the wet weather that we have had in the Midwest, from the Dakotas all the way through Ohio. Yesterday's numbers just show us that farmers haven't been able to move. I was looking, doesn't look like that's much of a chance this week for them to move at all from one side of the Corn Belt to the other. What do you see?
Yeah, exactly. I would agree with that comment. What we have is a log jam. We have a big area of high pressure that extends across the southeastern and east central United States. And that is causing the jet stream to come out of the Gulf of Alaska and the Pacific and carve a deep trough over the western and central areas of the United States. And the weather in the west has got nowhere to go except east-northeast, right across to the Dakotas, the northern and western Corn Belt. So what we have is a reoccurring pattern of shower and thunderstorm activity that will continue to go over the same areas probably for another 10 to 14 days. So what we're going to see is very warm, dry weather in the southeast United States and wet weather continuing in the areas that have been wet.
So if I am visualizing this correctly, you have a ridge that's, say, in the southeast thereabouts, and that's holding the weather pattern that's coming, and I'll say sliding out of Alaska and Canada down on the east side of the Rocky Mountains. That's why you've got 8 inches of snowfall. And it's dipping way down into Texas, picking up moisture and making a hard U-turn and coming straight up through Louisiana, Missouri, the Dakotas, Iowa, and such. Is that kind of the pattern that we're seeing?
It is exactly the pattern. And this is a pattern that sometimes we call the ring of fire in the summer, where you get moisture rotating around the high pressure center that sets up in the southeast United States. But with the spring, it's not so much subtropical moisture that causes the thunderstorms. It's storms coming out of the Pacific rotating around that high, going right over the same areas again. And without a doubt, this is going to be a concern for more planting delays and also more flooding concerns as well.
How about next week?
Well, next week, we don't have anything that's really much different. While we do see a period of warmer temperatures that will come in over the Memorial Day weekend, on Memorial Day Monday, another one of these systems comes out of the Rockies and moves right across the area towards the middle to the end of next week, dropping temperatures and bringing more rain.
Oh, that's not good news. Hey, thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
It's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.